Welcome to Medicine Matters, the Springer Medicine Podcast. As doctors, the focus of our care is often dominated by making our patients better. In specialties like oncology, early conversations are frequently centered around treatments, around prognosis, and the question of cure. But what about the broader picture for our patients' lives? I'm thinking in particular about those for whom a cancer diagnosis comes early in life. For women diagnosed with breast cancer, one of the most sensitive and personal topics that can arise is fertility. And even more specifically, within that today, we're going to be talking about the possibility of breastfeeding, either during or after breast cancer treatment. Breastfeeding is not only a source of nourishment for infants, but also an opportunity for emotional connection and healing for new mothers. For patients who have undergone breast cancer treatment, the question of whether breastfeeding is feasible or indeed safe can be enormously important. And for clinicians, the answers are often very complex and fraught with uncertainty. We're hoping that our discussions today will be able to clarify some of the clinical factors that determine whether we should recommend breastfeeding to our patients during or after breast cancer treatment. We'll look at surgical and drug-related considerations, the impact of chemotherapy, of radiation, of endocrine therapy, and the role of supportive care in helping these patients navigate their choices.
Hello, I'm Shreya Nanda, a senior clinical content manager at Springer Medicine, focusing on oncology and rheumatology. I'm joined today by Dr. Cristina Saura from Spain, and we are going to talk about breastfeeding after a breast cancer diagnosis. We are going to focus mainly on the findings from the POSITIVE trial, which were recently presented at ESMO, but we will also go into some of the issues and the challenges. Welcome to the show, Dr. Saura.
Thank you very much.
Before we get going, please could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I'm a medical oncologist dedicated to breast cancer care since 2007, when I finished my period of residency. I'm working at Vall d'Hebron University Hospital, initially as a medical oncologist treating breast cancer patients. I did my doctoral thesis on patients diagnosed with breast cancer during pregnancy, so this topic is very close to my heart.
So we're going to be talking about some reassuring findings, but first of all, I would like to ask you, why was this research needed in the first place? What are the concerns around breastfeeding in women who have had breast cancer that this analysis was aiming to address?
So the first question before the breastfeeding, I think that it's important to mention that we have to consider that patients that are cured of a breast cancer may have not finished or completed the family planning and want to be mothers. So the first issue before the breastfeeding is to consider pregnancy after breast cancer. So a few years ago, we started a clinical trial that it's called the POSITIVE trial, trying to address if those patients that had breast cancer and with still a desire of being mothers could take that decision without an impact in their prognosis. So between 2014 and 2019, we included in the POSITIVE clinical trial more than 500 patients with hormone receptor positive breast cancer, trying to answer that specific question. So if they could become mothers without an impact on the breast cancer of these women. And a couple of years ago, we presented at San Antonio and later on published in the New England Journal of Medicine the results of this trial that showed, with a median follow-up of more than 40 months, that the prognosis was not impacted for those patients included in the trial. It's important to note that this follow-up is too short to consider that as a definitive answer, but at least the results that we have in our hands today can help us in the clinic to discuss with the patients if they want to become mothers, at least the results of the POSITIVE trial with the follow-up that we have in our hands today.
Yep, so those results were great. I remember reporting about them back when they were first reported at SABCS. So I guess then it comes back to my question, which is these women who then do become mothers, you know, they will want to breastfeed, you know, have that bond with their child. So what are some of the concerns that they might have?
So you are right. After having the first goal of becoming pregnant, the next issue that some of these women consider is the possibility of the breastfeeding. So within those patients included in the POSITIVE clinical trial, we then consider to analyze the results of the breastfeeding Okay, and it was very nice to see this year at ESMO the results that we were able to collect from the trial. And the results are very reassuring, I would say. More than 60% of the patients included in the trial, specifically 63% of the women that became mothers, could breastfeed. Most of them after a conservative surgery, and we were able to identify those factors that were more likely to be associated with a breastfeeding. That are those women that had a conserving surgery, those patients with more than 35 years, the newly parity before that pregnancy, and also women that were included in the trial from the Asia Pacific and Middle East. So we were able to identify some of the factors that were more likely to achieve a breastfeeding. And we were also to identify the characteristics of that breastfeeding. We can define that the median duration of the breastfeeding, it was 4.4 months. And more than 35% of the patients achieved a breastfeeding of more than 6 months, that it's what it's recommended by the World Health Organization. So I think that the results are reassuring because the women that wanted to breastfeed, most of them achieved that goal. And on the top of that, we were able also to see if that may impact on the prognosis of these women. And again, we can say that those women that decided to breastfeed, this has not an impact on the prognosis of the breast cancer. So I think that we are creating evidence to better inform the patients in the clinic, not only about the possibility of becoming a mother, but also of the possibility of breastfeeding.
It's wonderful that breastfeeding is now an option for mothers in this situation who are keen to do so. But in your experience, in patients who are less keen or are undecided about breastfeeding, what do you think are their main concerns? What causes them to feel reluctant or anxious about breastfeeding?
The main issue here, it's not the breastfeeding, it's the pregnancy. You know, during pregnancy, there is an increase of the levels of estrogens, and this may impact the prognosis specifically for those patients with hormone receptor positive disease. And if you decide to breastfeed, you delay a little bit more the restart of the treatment. So I would say that the main issue here, it's the delay that breastfeeding may cause on restarting the treatment of the patient.
Just moving on to what are some of the challenges that might be associated with breastfeeding in this population? So are women who've previously had breast cancer, is there maybe more pain, more discomfort? What about like milk production? What are some of the challenges that they might face?
I would say that regarding the pain or these type of things, they do not refer any of these specific symptoms. Regarding the breast milk production, we analyzed that in the positive trial, and most of the patients were able to breastfeed from the breast that was not affected, okay? Because sometimes even for those patients that had conservative surgery, mainly the issue of having radiotherapy after that conservative surgery prevent to that breast to produce milk. So in the trial, we know that 66% of those patients that were able to breastfeed, most of them did from the breast that was not affected. Okay, so the previous radiotherapy after the breast conserving surgery, that it's something mandated, it's the main issue to prevent the milk production on that breast.
You say, I mean, most of them did feed from the contralateral breast, but there were a few women in the trial who, you know, they used the affected breast. So other than not losing the nipple, is there any other indication in advance that this will or won't be possible?
No. So the main contraindication is the absence of the breast itself or the nipple, but for the rest, it's an issue of offering the baby the breast, and some of the patients could achieve the milk production on that affected breast, and that happened in around 30% of the patients included in the trial. So the babies breastfeed from both breasts, but this is something that sometimes even trying to do that, it's not possible.
And then are there any specific contraindication to breastfeeding after treatment? So like, are there time frames when you would recommend that women don't try breastfeeding, say after surgery or chemo or radiotherapy?
So sometimes patients are diagnosed of breast cancer during pregnancy. And in that specific situation, we do not recommend to breastfeed, as this is not a priority, because the priority here is to treat the women. We can give chemotherapy during the pregnancy after the second trimester, but we know that in the milk, the patient has to continue with chemotherapy. The chemotherapy could be there. And we really not recommend to breastfeed after the delivery, okay? So the issue of needing chemotherapy after the delivery, it's a clear contraindication for the breastfeeding, as we now have other options for the baby. Regarding endocrine therapy, it's again another contraindication because we do not know exactly if the endocrine therapy could be also in the milk. So we prefer to avoid breastfeeding on that situation. So mainly the breastfeeding, it's possible if the patient has finished with the treatment of the breast cancer. And as I mentioned, regarding the radiotherapy, it's not a contraindication. See, if the patient had radiotherapy a few years ago, and after offering the baby, the breast affected is able to produce milk, this is not a contraindication. But receiving chemotherapy or endocrine therapy, it is a contraindication.
And then in the case of, I guess, the long-term hormone therapy, it's what the positive trial showed is you can stop that therapy for a couple of years. And then during that time, you can breastfeed as normal, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. So as I mentioned, it's a contraindication to receive breastfeeding during the endocrine therapy. And in the positive trial, the strategy was to stop the endocrine therapy to attempt a pregnancy. And then in the trial, it was allowed a window of up to 2 years, including the pregnancy, the delivery, and the breastfeeding desired by the patient. So it's contraindicated, but we can approve this window for the pregnancy and also for the breastfeeding.
So in terms of the support that women might need, what do you recommend? Like, you know, are there charities, groups, the doctors? What do the doctors need to know to be able to support their patients through this journey?
So from the positive trial, we've been working a lot disseminating the results of the trial because not everyone has the same sensibility of this topic or the importance of becoming a mother after having breast cancer. So this is something that we've been working for many, many years. So the trial started the recruitment in 2014, so 10 years ago. And from then, we started to explain to people that if for a patient it's important to become a mother, it's worth to try. And for that reason, we designed the trial and we included those patients in the trial. And now we do have the results in our hands. And even recognizing that the follow-up is short for specifically patients with hormone receptor positive disease, the short-term results does not show an impact on the prognosis of breast cancer of those women. So if it's important for the patient to become mother or at least trying, we think that we can now provide enough evidence at least to try. And the patients can understand the limitation of the data that we have in our hands. And if we are able to explain that very well, they can take their own decisions, okay? But we are still receiving patients that it has been not well informed about that possibility from their physicians, because still there are doctors that considers that it's enough to be cured of a breast cancer and does not understand enough the importance of becoming a mother and to consider the family planning as a whole or as a survivor, because for some patients it's equally important to be cured and being a mother. So we've been working for a while on this issue.
I think just spreading the word and, you know, cured for what? You want to be able to, you know, have a near normal life, don't you? Otherwise, what's the point of going through all those treatments and being cured if you can't then go ahead and, you know, do the things that you want to be able to do? So, yeah, that's really wonderful that you are spreading the word. And then I guess in terms of what are the kind of next steps and what are the unanswered questions? What else needs to be addressed, say, as part of the positive study or wider?
I think that what we need from the positive study, it's a longer follow-up, as I mentioned before. So this specific population of women with previous breast cancer, specifically with hormone receptor positive disease, we recognize that sometimes the relapses may happen later, let's say after 5 or after 10 years. So we definitely have to continue following those patients that were included in the positive trial to be sure that the prognosis or the relapses are not affected by that fact of becoming pregnant after the breast cancer. And we have to continue committed with the trial, following those patients and releasing the data to the community. Okay, so I think that the main goal of the most important data that we need from the positive trial is the longer follow-up and to continue reporting the outcomes of those patients that became pregnant and that breastfeed in a long-term outcomes, okay? And regarding other issues related with the breastfeeding, we are working specifically at Vall d'Hebron in a project. It's a research project trying to see if we can use the breast milk as a tool for early breast cancer diagnosis. We published last year in Cancer Discovery that in the breast milk of patients already diagnosed of breast cancer during pregnancy or during the breastfeeding, we are able to detect in the breast milk the same mutations that are present on the tumor. So now, built on that information, we are applying to different grants and to different projects to see if we can use that information to have a tool for early breast cancer diagnosis, just using a breast milk sample to rule out a breast cancer, because we know that in Western countries, we are delaying the age of pregnancy and there is a peak of breast cancer after the delivery if that pregnancy happens after the 40s. So we think that it's worth to try to see if we can use this new source for liquid biopsy, let's say the breast milk, just to rule out a breast cancer. The same that we are doing with the babies and the prick test to rule out metabolopathies. So our dream is to use just small sample of breast milk to rule out a breast cancer that after the delivery has sometimes a special bad prognosis. So this is our dream and we are working on this research project and we'll see if at the end we are able to demonstrate that we can use a panel that we designed for that purpose to have early detection of breast cancer.
Lots to look forward to. I will keep my eyes out for the results when they start coming. So thank you very much for your time today. And thank you for taking the time to speak to me. It's been really wonderful.
Thank you, Sharia, for giving us the opportunity to continue educating the community, explaining the results of the positive trial and how important it is to become pregnant for some women after a breast cancer. Thank you very much.
This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals for their ongoing medical education and entertainment. It should not replace the professional advice of a doctor or pharmacist and may not be used as a basis for diagnosis or any change to the prescribed treatment of disease. The views expressed by our moderators and guests are their opinions and do not represent the position of any third parties. The information given in the podcast is subject to change as the scientific field and clinical advances progress.